Welcome to Everything Scary. My name is Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, local celebrity. sorry, international celebrity.
Thank you.
Matt McLean.
Hello, hello.
Every Tuesday, we release a new episode, mostly true crime, but we've also been known to cover a pandemic, a haunting, a super mad, super strong chimpanzee. We'll cover anything and everything scary. Please rate us 5 stars and join us on Instagram at Everything Scary Pod. Here we go. We're back.
Hello. Welcome to another edition.
Another awful edition.
Of Everything Scary.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we're going to go right back into, and I'm all business right now.
It's not going to
be.
Yeah. You don't even have your glasses on.
You know what? I can't find my glasses, so I haven't been able to see anything for like days.
You're all super cash.
I'm just like, just fucking riding blind.
How am I supposed to know when I've got to return that book?
So we're going to hop right back into the Delphi murders, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really awful case. Like, it's really upsetting. I don't like anything about it.
All right. Well, that makes sense. I'm glad that you said that. Because if you were like, you want to tell you, here's a list of my favorite things.
No.
I'd be like, you fucking weirdo.
So if you haven't listened to the last episode, you should probably do that.
This is not going to make much sense.
No. But so we're going into the murders of Abby Williams and Libby German. I'm just going to give a quick recap.
Okay.
Girls were 13 and 14 years old at the time and were off school on a Monday. It was February the 13th of 2017. They had decided to go out and walk along some scenic walking trails beside the Monon High Bridge and take pictures. When the girls weren't at the pickup spot at the decided time, friends and family began looking for them. By the next day, police, firefighters, and hundreds of volunteers were out looking for them. Sadly, the girls were found deceased, and it was very clear that it was a homicide. Just when officers thought that they were going to be in for an extremely tough investigation, it came to light that 14-year-old Libby had the foresight to film this individual who was giving her the heebie-jeebies.
I think that's one of the most remarkable things that we cover is when any victim, but especially a young victim, has that foresight.
Instinct.
And because Jesus, that's just remarkable.
I know, it is. It's extremely remarkable. So she did film him just enough to get a visual on her phone, and then she stuck the phone in her pocket so that he didn't see it and take it away from her. And just like that, one of the young victims in the case has provided them with all 100% of the evidence that they had. And that was where we left off last week. So this week, we're going to start off with the man who owned the property that the girls' bodies were found on. So this is 77-year-old Ronald Logan. Ronald was one of the first suspects in the case. They would say that his voice was not inconsistent with the voice on the recording.
There are some similarities.
Yes, like it's not totes opposite. Yeah. So it then came out that this is not a good look.
Uh-oh.
He had contacted a family member and had asked them to provide him with a fake alibi for February 13th.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So that was the day the girls went missing. They then found out that he had a pretty long rap sheet, which was mostly DUIs.
Ugh.
Once it was leaked that he was a suspect, people were quick to point out how much the clothes that he was wearing during his interview resembled the bridge guy, which is what we will come to know him as.
Bridge guy.
Yeah, they call him bridge guy or BG, which is also what we call my brother. So. Sorry about his laugh. So he also seemed to lack a lot of emotion on the day that he was interviewed for TV. Like it was like a news.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was just kind of like, well, you know, I'm just kind of like, I don't really know how to feel. I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed, which I mean, I guess you would like if.
Yeah, but don't talk to the press.
No.
Just keep your mouth shut.
And, you know, maybe he was just overwhelmed, but that's not really what the public saw. Ronald would pass away in 2020, and he did live under scrutiny until then, but the alibi that he had asked his family member to lie about was because his license was suspended at the time, and he had driven.
Mm.
So that he had asked them to say, like, can you say you drove me to, like, this and this?
But
really, he had driven himself. And as far as the clothing goes, with this case, authorities were giving the media and public as little information as possible. They were playing it very close to the vest. Is it very close to the vest or very close to the chest?
Both to me make perfect sense, and I don't know which one's real. It's a moot point either way.
It's moot.
I know.
So, you know, they were playing very close to the vest.
Stomach.
Close to the thoracic area. So they claim to have reasons for this, but we did find out later on that the girls had both lost a significant amount of blood, and therefore the person responsible for this likely would have been completely covered. So the clothes that he was wearing the very day after they were found would probably not be wearable.
Right.
Let alone, you know, just crisp and ready for a TV interview. So just like that, like I said, they withheld a lot of stuff. And there was more to the recording that we had never heard, which they said one day, like almost 2 years later, they were like, we have more of the recording that we want to show you guys. And then they released a part of the audio that had never been heard before. Those who have been following the case, I was excited to hear that we had more audio to listen to.
So you had been on this like since 2017?
Not hardcore.
But this was breaking news.
It was on my radar for sure.
When this more audio, okay.
So the audio that they gave us was, they just added guys to the beginning. So it was guys down the hill. So like I said, this was nearly 2 years later. At the same press conference, they did release another sketch, which looked a lot like somebody from a 90s boy band, which was, it was polar opposites. I'll post it to our Instagram and I'll send it to you later. But it's, the first one is a middle-aged man and he's kind of, you know, middle-aged-y. And he's wearing one of those hats. And then the second one is like a guy with curly hair, which is like, how do you, that guy's wearing a hat.
Yeah.
And he looks like, he was should be like in a choreographed dancer team with like five other guys behind him. So that was what they released. And then they gave us this guys down the hill. Now, if you listen to the guys down the hill to me and okay, here, I sent it to you and I could drive myself mad listening to this because it's just, I'm going to ask Chris to insert the audio here. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard it, but if not, I'll have Chris put it right here. So you go ahead and listen to the one that I just sent you.
Yeah.
So now what I believe, and I think that most people believe was when he said guys, and if you listen to it 400,000 times like I have, it's almost a little bit friendlier sounding. It's almost a little high pitched, whereas down the hill kind of sounds like a command. And I think what it was is that he said, guys, and then he brandished some sort of a weapon. And then he said, down the hill.
Okay. Like, guys, put gun
down the hill. Exactly. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, listen to it.
Jesus.
It's really creepy, isn't it?
Is that video...
Not when he's saying it. That's not when he's saying it.
Okay, okay, okay.
They've put it over top of it.
Yeah, okay.
But, so, you know, that's the full audio that we have. But there is more audio. And the family has been allowed to hear it. And Abby's mom has said that in the full recording, you can hear one of the girls say something about him having a gun. And then you can apparently hear the gun cycling. I've tried to look this up, what cycling is.
Yeah.
I'm Canadian. I started a YouTube video and the guy started off by saying, yo, it's fucking me again. And
oh
I was like,
God.
I'm immediately backing out of this. So I think it's kind of like, I'm going to get corrected for sure. But I think it's kind of like cocking a gun, but like, it's like the.
Are you pulling the hammer back or something?
Not the hammer. Like, you know, if it's a pistol, how it's got like the top part of the chamber. I don't know, guys. I'm sorry.
No, I know what you mean. Like the top part.
Yeah, you pull that back and then like it'll expel a shell if one's in there or a bullet if one's in there.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Thank you so
Sounds
much.
Sounds right. You would cycle in and out.
Cycling, yeah. Uh-huh. It's like bicycle.
Yeah, no. You would, and then you have to recycle.
So I'm sure somebody's going to, you know, DM us and
like, you morons.
Give us all the answers that we need to know. But apparently this is kind of done to like scare somebody that you're trying to scare.
Okay.
And then apparently one of the girls says something about the trail ending and says there's nowhere to go. And of course, this is all very muffled because the phone was in Libby's pocket the entire time. And in July of 2017 was when their first sketch came out. So they had posted like the first, like I said, the first sketch was the older man. And then 2 years later, it was this super young looking dude. So I'm going to post both of those so that everybody has kind of an idea of what, how varying these two sketches were. In September of 2017, they had arrested an Indiana man in Colorado because he was on a trail and was threatening people with a hatchet.
Okay.
Not he looked look. Exactly like the sketch, and he was also a sex offender who had failed to register in Indiana, but timelines didn't match up, so it turned out to be a dead lead. In January of 2019, the scariest man that I've ever seen in my entire life, who lived 100 miles away from where the girls were found, his name is Charles Eldridge. And I don't have any qualms about saying his name because he's also a known pedophile. And his Facebook was constantly full of like reposting, like if something had happened to a child here and they were like looking for tips, like he always looked like he was trying to help.
Oh God.
But he was really just a fucking weirdo. And he is what nightmares are made of.
Right. Jeez.
He even posted a sketch of Libby and Abby's killer. And he, with the caption, it said, somebody knows something.
Shit.
This man is nightmare fuel. Like, it's like he's completely bald, but what's not bald is ginger. And it's like pulled into like one long bang in the middle of his forehead. It's a goddamn nightmare.
So it's like you Google image, what's a pedophile like? And then maybe add some dark tinted sunglasses and then that picture of this guy. Because that's definitely the pedophile hairdo.
Who has that hairdo? Like,
pedophile.
So, meanwhile, of course, the family and friends are still suffering the loss of these two amazing little girls. You know, they were such little joys. Like, I've read so much about these girls. And I think when I was following it before, it was kind of like I was just following the case. I didn't really get to know who the victims were.
Right.
And then hearing their parents talk about them. Like, Libby, she used to love to write post-it notes. Like, that was her big thing. She would just leave post-it notes around for, like, different members of her family. And her grandma, Becky, said that she took a picture of one that was in, like, her sun visor. She pulled it down, and there was a sweet little post-it stuck in there from Liberty. And it said that she loved her grandma, and she said, thank you for everything you do for me and Kels. Aww. Love, Liberty. Her mom, Carrie, now has an entire sleeve tattoo on, like, her left arm. And it's dedicated to Libby. One of the things is, like, it's a little post-it, and on the post-it it says, I love you, Mom, Libby.
Aww.
On Abby's headstone, it reads, and though she be but little, she is fierce. And her mom said that she was super sweet and super courteous and very empathetic, but if she dug her heels in about something, there was no two ways about it. She even convinced her mom to bring in a stray cat when her mom was allergic. Guess what she named it? Bongo.
Come.
Like.
Off it.
Bingo. Bongo. Her mom says that cat misses her a lot right now.
Aw.
So. Bongo. The last little part of this, I'm going to tell you about two more suspects. One, they have charged with two counts of murder, and they believe that he is the one who hurt these girls. And listen, I have watched countless press conferences with these officers, and they're devastated by this horrific crime, and they're passionate about it, and they want to see the right guy put away for this. And like I said before, they keep things on the low, so I'm sure there's still some things that we're not privy to, but let me tell you about these two guys and let me know what you think.
All right.
So first, we have Kagan Klein. Firstly, I feel like I should mention that his father named him after his favorite strip club. The strip club was named Keg and Klein.
Oh.
So, that's charming.
I thought it was like Kegels or Kegels or something. That's right.
You would, you pervert. You.
What? It's a pervert. It's a
an exercise. That's it's a just
perfectly respected fitness offshoot of the fitness industry.
So, yeah. So this guy, Kagan, whose name is spelled Keegan, but it's Kagan because it's Keg and Klein.
Oh.
He was posing as a fellow named Anthony Schatz, who in real life is a male model and a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
which is not who Kagan Klein is. He's a pedophile. And he's very much not a male model. He's like the opposite of a male model.
I understand.
Like if somebody said, we want to cast somebody who's literally a polar opposite to a male model.
They're like, you know what?
I got your guy.
Give me Tony Schatz.
Get Kagan back.
Bring in Tony Schatz in here.
So as it would turn out, Libby had exchanged messages with the Anthony Schatz profile on the day that the girls went to the bridge.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, would they have gotten to meet a boy?
Well, the profile of Anthony Schatz is like this really handsome. I mean, they could have, right? We don't know. Mm-hmm. But she did exchange messages with him that day. And it seems like an insane coincidence. Like it's not
a
highly populated area. And, you know, not only did this guy have a gun, which we're in Canada, a lot of people, I think, carried around for safety reasons.
I'll speak for myself. I'm afraid of them. It makes me uneasy.
Yeah. So,
because we don't experience them.
No, we don't. But if somebody's just carrying a gun, maybe that's not that. Because I remember when I went to Florida, I was sitting at a teppanyaki restaurant and there was like a group of guys, there was four guys, and they were talking to us about like gun laws and stuff. And he was like, well, how do you protect your house? And I was like, I don't know. I just lock my doors, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what if somebody broke into your house? What would you do? And he's like, have you ever held a gun before? I'm like, I've never seen a gun before.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you want to see my gun right now? And I was like,
whoa.
And then I just ate my rice and shut up.
Actually, by the state of Florida laws, you just got married. That's considered a marriage.
He was really cute.
You ever seen a gun?
Oh, God. I'm so happy now.
They're so loud. They frighten me.
So, yeah. But here's the thing. It's like, okay. So, you know, maybe they were just carrying their knife around and on a Monday in February. And the person, you know, that hurt these girls was just there at random with their gun. Maybe it's because our gun laws are different and maybe it's a huge stretch. But even so, we're going to find out that these girls were hurt with a knife.
Mm.
So this person would have had to be randomly walking around with a knife and a gun at this, you know.
Trail,
yeah, like a walking trail.
Not in like bear country.
No, and while I can understand that like some people do keep a gun on them.
Yeah.
To have both of those things, doesn't that seem like a bit of a...
I mean,
a
machete if you're cutting trail and a gun for safety, but I don't know.
Wow.
Did I say that real cool? Was that too quick? I should have taken a pause? Shit. I used to do that.
So, yeah, so we would find out their injuries came from a knife. And then if that isn't enough, they got a warrant to search this guy's home and they were able to find a bunch of sick shit in there.
Oh, God.
Some of his charges were child exploitation, child solicitation, identity theft, obstruction of justice, and possession of child pornography.
Shit.
So he is just great.
Asshole. Sad OJ in hell.
Yeah. So the good news is, regardless of if he had anything to do with this, this sorry sack of shit was sentenced to 43 years last July.
What do you mean regardless if he had any? Oh, like he was sentenced in this case.
No, he wasn't sentenced in this case. He was sentenced for all of those other charges when they went to search his house.
Oh, that is hilarious. Right? That is fucking great.
So he's gone.
Oh, my God.
He's not going to be doing any more male modeling. I'll tell you that right now.
Shit. Well, not by choice. Come here. Hey, Tony Schatz, get in here.
So that's going to bring us to our last guy that they have arrested for this. This man's name is Richard Matthew Allen.
Three names?
Guilty. Well, you know why they say three names, though, right?
No.
Because, and I'm just going to use this name for an example, actually. Richard Allen, I can't remember his very last name, but Richard Allen something or other was also the killer in the Polly Klass case.
Right.
So what they do is people don't go by these names. This guy actually went by Ricky. So the reason they give them three names is because they don't want just fucking any... poor Rick Allen walking down the street and people start beating the shit out of him.
I got you.
So they try to identify him as much as possible.
There was
Like, I don't think people were like, hey, John Wayne Gacy.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we did Anna Nicole Smith, right? And there was Howard Stern and then Howard K. Stern.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That guy had to have the K because he's... So anyways, so yeah. So this man, he had told a conservation officer at the bridge that he had been there that day and he had actually seen Abby and Libby.
Oh.
Yeah. But this was never reported.
That's good.
It just somehow got missed. We do know that there was a bullet. Oh, God. Okay. So all of our regular listeners know that me talking about guns is...
awesome.
Fantastic. It's just the best because I'm so knowledgeable and I just carry myself so well with this topic. So buckle up.
It toes the border of eroticism as well, if I can be honest.
So, yeah. So there was a... ballistics.
Yeah.
That was involved in this. There was a bullet that was found in between the bodies of Abby and Libby. And I am going to tell you why that bullet matched Richard's Sig Sauer model P226 pistol.
All right. Tell me, why did it match it? All right. Fine. You're sticking it to
me. Sit back and relax. I just wanted to tell you that there's three identifying marks that are left by a gun in order to say if the bullet came from that gun or not.
Okay.
Okay. So first is when the bullet leaves the gun, there's like lands and grooves that are unique to that gun. And the lands and grooves will match the barrel of that gun. And like, you know.
I got you.
Thank you so much.
There's a notch at, say, the 12 o'clock position on the barrel, as the bullet is fired out of the barrel at the 12 o'clock position, we'll have a corresponding notch.
You're so smart.
I got you.
It's because I explained it so well.
That is correct. I'm a student of the game.
So second is on the shell, and it's when the hammer hits the primer being the butt of the shell.
Okay.
And it will leave a mark, and also the shell... in a semi-automatic pistol, the shell casing has to be grabbed by the gun, and every gun will be different. Apparently, they said that 1,000 different guns can be shot of that same model, and no grabbing mark will ever be the same.
Interesting.
It's like a fingerprint.
Wow.
So, apparently, these three things match that bullet to the gun owned by Richard Allen.
Well, that's conclusive.
And I mean, I've basically just... solved this case.
I would think so.
So they also made sure to ask him if he had ever lent at the gun. Like, you know, when you go through security at the airport, they're like, did you let anybody touch this?
Did you lend her your gun? I'm like, I don't lend my gun. Yeah. Like, did you pack your own bags? Like, who the hell? Yes. Who the hell is packing my bag?
So, yeah. So he said, obviously not. No one's ever touched it. It's only ever been in his possession. So when they went through his home, because obviously now they have a warrant to go through his home, they confiscated. Now, once again, they're keeping everything close. They're not telling us a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We have what they've confiscated. We have the ballistics, but it's basically all we have. But what they've confiscated is multiple laptops, hard drives, multiple knives, two swabs from the passenger side of his Ford Focus carpet.
Ford Focus?
Yeah. Loser.
No, guilty. Loser. Fuck, that's so funny. So,
carpet underneath the spare tire. Come back to me.
Carpet underneath the spare tire.
Yep. A 40 caliber cartridge in a keepsake box on his nightstand.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of clothing and boots, including what they believe to be the blue jacket in the clip. And his wife, Kathy, confirmed that he had that jacket back in 2017. Mm. And there's also a witness statement saying that they saw a man matching Richard Allen's description covered in mud and blood on the day the girls went missing.
Where would they see him covered in mud and blood?
Out on the trails.
Yes.
Where the girls were found was down the hill.
Oh, yeah.
Right by the creek. And they said they saw him walking around this area covered in mud and blood. But do you just go home that day and you're like, oh, you wouldn't believe what I saw today.
Tough day at the office. Yeah, I don't know.
So naturally, he was arrested on October 28th of 2022, and he has been held ever since. His trial was supposed to be in March of 2023. It didn't happen. Typically, when a suspect is being held awaiting trial, They're usually held in their county jail, but Richard Allen has been held in two separate prisons.
Ooh, nice.
So they're not ideal for facilitating meetings with your lawyer.
That's a shame.
Richard Allen has both hands cuffed to his chest like this, but they're back to back. So like his hands are touching each other.
Like that? Like,
yeah, so his hand, yeah, okay. It's so tight that the back of his hands are touching. He's unable to sign anything or even shake his lawyer's hands.
In the jail?
Yep. At one point, they came to discuss the trial with him, and he was in his cell, unable to come out, and they had to talk to him through the slot in which they put the food trays through. Physically, to see him now, he's lost an incredibly significant amount of weight. He looks terrible. He didn't look great.
He didn't start off a Brad Pitt.
Yeah, no.
Guy's driving a Ford Focus.
So, yeah, he looked terrible, but not much worse.
Yeah, started awful, still is way worse.
Yeah. So they do have a recording of a call that Richard had with his wife, Kathy, in which he confesses to the murder of Abby and Livy 5 or 6 times.
Oh.
Before his wife abruptly ends the call.
Well, I mean.
She's like, good fucking bye.
Yeah, jackpot.
So his defense team says that due to the poor conditions in which Richard is being held, he has suffered a mental breakdown, and that was the reason for his confession.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not to, you know, back that up, because of course they have to say that, but he is also, he's been eating paper.
Mm.
He, like, waters down paper that they've given him that he's supposed to, like, sign or look over, and he pours water on it and then eats it.
Mm. That's what I would do. If I was trying to pretend that I was nuts.
You eat paper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I would do everything. A lot of poo smearing. I feel that's the number one indicator.
I feel like you'd be good at that.
Oh, yeah. Be like cave drawings.
So his attorney's situation has been a bit of a mess. His original defense team was Andrew Baldwin and Bradley Rosie until Judge Francis Gull ordered them to cease work immediately and had them removed due to gross negligence.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like
for leaking evidence, I believe. They were then replaced by William Libretto, who was then removed, and Baldwin and Rosie were put back on.
What?
Yeah.
Fucking
hot mess.
Wow.
And now they have filed a series of pre-hearing motions, one of which is that Judge Francis Gull recuses herself.
Oh, Jesus.
So, of course, there has been all sorts of changes in the dates, but as of now, his trial is scheduled for May of this year. Next month.
Wow.
I mentioned earlier that we would circle back to the placement of the sticks on Abby and Libby's bodies. Richard Allen says that the stick placement is a clear indication that these murders were ritualistic, and one of the girls appeared to be a sacrifice to Odin.
Okay.
And the other, unfortunately, was casualty because of what was witnessed. So don't worry, I will get into it. Richard's attorney have named 2 guards that were wearing Odinism patches on their uniform. When they made it an issue, the officers were ordered to remove the patches from their uniform by their commanders, but then one of the 2 named showed up with the tattoo of the symbols on his face.
Wait.
I'll tell you what Odinism is.
These are prison guards?
Yes.
This is after the murders?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to get too far into it because we could totally go down a rabbit hole, and I did.
Yeah.
But Odinism is apparently, it's a real religion. It's older than Christianity, and it acknowledges, you know, thought, courage, honor, light, beauty. Like, it's one of these great religions. But of course, there have been a few bad apples.
Yeah.
And they did spoil the whole bunch, like, regardless of what MJ had said.
Accurate, accurate saying.
So, you know, that branch doff, and they were inspiring white supremacist terror.
Hmm.
And according to Richard Allen, these are the ones, the bad ones, that hurt Abby and Libby. Also, just worth mentioning, you know, after all of this has happened and there's been, his lawyers have, even the one that's been off of the case now, he's like, all they have is this ballistic stuff. That's it. He's like, that's the only evidence they have. He did not do it. They're saying that it was 2 weeks before a sheriff election.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just looking to have somebody. So, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't just get Kagan if that was the case, because he seems like a pretty fucking viable.
The guy, whether he was there or not, he's in jail for the rest of his life. I mean, that's a pretty good piece of shit to hang a charge on if you were looking for a scapegoat.
Like, I think Kagan's, he's where we go.
Yeah.
But who knows? We will find out in May, and I will definitely be following up with this case. And also, just not worth anything really, but it's just, I kind of want to mention it, is that Richard Allen also has a daughter.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, she's an adult daughter and she's married, but it's still.
Fuck.
Could you do this if you had a daughter? Jesus. Of course you could, because a lot of people do shittier things, but.
Wow. I think it was him for sure. 100%.
You think it was Allen?
Richard Matthew Allen?
You don't think it was Kagan?
No.
How come?
Because I think that the guy had a gun. So he obviously shot that bullet between them. I would assume there are probably more. So why is he shooting the gun down there with the bullet? I mean, I know they said it's only ballistics, but that's a big fucking...
Ballistics have always been to me like, and I could be wrong, I thought it was junk science.
No, it's science.
I don't think so.
So to me...
Do you want to arm wrestle?
ballistics, like it matches gun bullets to guns, from my understanding and trajectory. So that's like measurable.
Yeah, but like up until like 2 years ago, hair DNA or like hair was actual like evidence too. And now they're like, no, that's junk science too.
Oh, like hair, like samples, like comparing like
if,
hair?
If I left a hair here for them to like match to me 100%, it wouldn't be...
Oh, it's not like a conclusive thing? Well, I don't know. Will you quickly goog?
I'm going to goog.
Yeah, hold on. A goog.
This is ballistics.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens. We call this the coog goog. This is when Lynn looks something up.
That's what I call it at
time
home
for
too.
Our regular
I'm like,
singing.
Hey, kids.
The coog goog.
Reliability of ballistics evidence. In some cases, the evidence presented as... indisputable facts later become discredited as junk science.
Wow.
When it becomes apparent just how flawed the theories behind the science can be.
No shit.
Bingo bongo, bitch.
And that's Wikipedia. That's a fact. No, and it's, wow. See, to me, I just thought it proved like, okay, a bullet was fired from your gun and it's there. Explain how that got to the crime scene.
I just don't think that the markings, like they say it's like a fingerprint. I don't think it's as.
Yeah.
Like, what's conclusive, the word I'm looking for?
100%.
Yeah. So,
So Kagan, they didn't charge him.
Well, I mean, they didn't charge him for this. They charged him for 25 other things that he pled guilty for. Oh, God, this guy is so fucking trashy, too. You should see his face.
But yeah, I put me with RMA.
Okay. Well, you know what? We'll see, because it's coming up. I believe I had written down the dates. I didn't write them down on my computer, but I believe it is, they have it scheduled between May 13th to May 31st, which to me seems weird that they have a finish date.
Quite a, yeah, maybe that's start date, depending, or jury selection, or like.
Like going, what, does everybody just shows up every day? Like, right. No, it's not today.
Not, no, tomorrow, I can't, listen, just show up. I can't tell you for sure. Just show up.
Well, I said the 13th to the 31st. What are you fucking doing?
Yeah.
Like, stop asking.
Did you see the dash between? That means between. I gave you two bookmarks, two bookends.
Oh, God. Okay.
Who do you think?
You know, initially, when I first was researching this, I just heard the ballistics. Mm. And I was like, I think Kagan is... he was communicating with Libby that morning.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Fucking huge.
Yes, that is big.
But, and then when they said like the ballistics, I was like, I don't think that they can hang their hat on ballistics. Mm-hmm. But then when they were saying like they've taken up carpeting from his
Ford Focus.
His Ford and his fucking spare tire. Do they even give you a spare tire in a Ford
Focus? Can you even get a flat tire in a Ford Focus?
Just kidding.
I don't think they're good enough to get a flat.
So, yeah, when they said all these other things, and then, like, his wife was like, oh, yeah, he even has the jacket. And then he confessed to it, and people are like, it's fine. He didn't really confess. He eats paper.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? Right? Did he use confession? So,
I'm sorry. I don't understand if those two things. Maybe he just eats paper.
Models do that. Supermodels.
That sounds great.
It's the cotton.
Fantastic.
To fill up.
My dog does that, too. My new puppy. I got a new puppy.
To poop a cloud of cotton.
That's beautiful.
A cotton poo?
That was...
Can you imagine? It'd probably wipe on the way out. Don't laugh at that. Oh, come on. You're a lady. You're a mother and a lady. You should be ashamed of yourself.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Why?
Nobody expects much of me. You're a productive member of our society here.
Okay, we gotta go because that's fucking hilarious and I don't have a choice.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.